Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Shea Stevens. The House Select Committee examining the January 6 insurrection will hear testimony today from state officials who faced off against then-President Trump. NPR's Claudia Grisales reports that today's hearing is part of the panel's focus on the pressure campaign to overturn the 2020 election.
Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger, his deputy Gabe Sterling, and a former election worker from Fulton County, Georgia, Shay Moss, will testify in person. Trump accused Moss and her mother of false claims of election fraud, forcing both into hiding. The panel will also detail former Trump Chief of Staff Mark Meadows' role in the Georgia pressure campaign. In addition, the committee will present videotaped testimony from other states, such as Michigan and Pennsylvania. Arizona House Speaker Rusty Bowers will detail, for the first time, the pressure he faced from Trump and his lawyer, Rudy Giuliani. Claudia Grisales, NPR News, Washington.
New York Governor Kathy Hochul has signed a measure to bar local officials from enacting laws designed to suppress voting rights.
Across the country, we're seeing stricter voter ID laws, shorter early voting periods, and more burdens when you're trying to just vote by mail. We're seeing people purged on voter rolls.
Hochul says the new law includes a provision that requires local jurisdictions with a history of discrimination to get state approval before changing their voting laws. A Nebraska man has pleaded guilty to making death threats against Colorado's top elections official. Travis Ford's plea is believed to be the first obtained by a federal task force charged with protecting election workers. Ford faces up to 2 years in prison at sentencing in October. The European Union's foreign policy chief is calling Russia's blockade of Ukrainian food exports a war crime. NPR's Peter Granich reports.
EU Foreign Policy Chief Josep Borrell says that Russia cannot use hunger as a weapon of war. He warned that the blockade is increasing the risk of famine, especially in Africa. Ukraine has more than 23 million tons of food exports stuck inside the country, and Borrell says that millions of people will not be able to eat it. He called it inconceivable that Russia was preventing people around the world from accessing food and blamed Russia's invasion for both food and energy scarcity and price spikes. Peter Granitz, NPR News, Kyiv.
Ukraine's deputy defense minister says the Kremlin has ordered its military to overrun the entire eastern Luhansk region by next Sunday. The governor of Luhansk says the situation is extremely difficult. Russian troops are waging a large-scale offensive there in recent weeks. They now control most of the strategic city of Severodonetsk. This is NPR News. A U.S. Navy warship fired a warning flare Monday in the Strait of Hormuz to turn away an approaching Iranian Revolutionary Guard speedboat. The incident occurred amid tensions over stalled negotiations on Iran's nuclear program. International inspectors say that Iran is preparing to enrich uranium. Canada's defense minister says that her country plans to spend billions of dollars to help beef up North American defense. Dan Karpinchuk has more from Ottawa.
Anita Anand says the first commitment will be nearly $5 billion over the next 6 years on continental defense. More money will also be spent on modernizing North America's aging defensive systems. U.S. and Canadian military officials have been warning for years that there are dangerous gaps in their ability to detect and stop an incoming attack on the continent. Anand says the money is the most significant upgrade to the North American Aerospace Defense Command in decades. She says the long-term plan from Canada is a commitment of about $40 billion over the next 20 years. The plan includes a new long-range radar defense system, new command and control systems, advanced air-to-air missiles, and other capabilities. For NPR News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk in Toronto.
The south entrance to Yellowstone National Park is set to reopen on Wednesday. The rest of the park should reopen within the next 2 weeks. The facility was closed last week after flooding knocked out major roads in the area. Yellowstone's superintendent says it could take many months to reconnect those roadways. U.S. futures are trading slightly higher in pre-market trading. Asia-Pacific markets are mostly higher, down a fraction in Shanghai. This is NPR News.